you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, we are beginning in verse 7. And this is God's word. "Remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you. As you carefully observe the outcome of their lives, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't be led astray by various kinds of strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be established by grace, and not by food regulations, since those who observe them have not benefited. We have an altar from which those who worship at the tabernacle do not have a right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the most holy place by the high priest as a sin offering are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also suffered outside the gate, so that he might sanctify the people by his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing his disgrace. For we do not have an enduring city here. Instead, we seek the one to come. Therefore, through him, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Don't neglect to do what is good and to share, for God is pleased with such sacrifices. Obey your leaders and submit to them, since they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so that they can do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are convinced that we have a clear conscience, wanting to conduct ourselves honorably in everything. And I urge you all the more to pray that I may be restored to you very soon. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, equip you with everything good to do his will, working in us what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Brothers and sisters, I urge you to receive this message of exhortation, for I've written it to you briefly. Be aware that our brother Timothy has been released. If he comes soon enough, he will be with me when I see you. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who are from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with you all. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, we're endeavoring to wrap up our study of the letter to the Hebrews. We've said before that we don't know who the author is, but we know that God is the real author. God spoke through the mouth of the prophets, through the mouth of the psalmist, through the pen of those who recorded his word. And this is the word of the Lord. "Remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you." Who do you see as your leaders? If you don't have any clue who that is, you need to go back to the scriptures and see that having folks who are in a position of leadership within the church is God's ordained plan. But be careful that you don't mistake leadership for dictatorship. There are cults in homes and in churches and in culture. And we should be looking for leadership to those who have spoken God's word to us. If somebody is just giving their own opinions, that's not godly leadership. Look for those who speak the word of the Lord. And this, dear people, is the word of the Lord. The scriptures. So who are those who are feeding you biblically? You should look to them as leadership. And as you carefully observe the outcome of their lives, imitate their faith. Two parts to that. Number one, you should be looking to see how they live. Do they practice what they preach? If a person says this is the word of the Lord and then doesn't do what this says, that's not a good leader. Observe the outcome of their lives carefully and then imitate their faith. You don't have to imitate all their idiosyncrasies. You don't have to imitate their mistakes, but you should imitate their faith if they are presenting the word of God. And folks, if you see somebody who's not walking it out, who's not putting into practice what they teach from the scriptures, don't follow their lead. Look for someone whose life lines up. One of the tragedies of the churches, many, many churches are looking just toward someone's gifting and not toward their character. If you look at the qualifications, the biblical qualifications for elders, it is mostly about how they live. How do they treat their family? Are their children properly disciplined? If that's not happening, if the home doesn't line up, that's not a good leader to follow.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, observe carefully and then imitate their faith. And then please note the next verse. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you really want to know where to focus, you're to carefully observe your leaders, but you're to fix your eyes on Christ. He's the one. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So if somebody's leading you toward Jesus, follow him. But if somebody is leading you in another direction, distracting you, there's dissonance between what Jesus says and what Jesus did and what this person is saying and the way that they're living. Don't go there. Focus on Jesus. Jesus doesn't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's standards do not change. Jesus doesn't come along and say, you know, we used to not want you to do that, but now we've decided it's okay. That's not the way Jesus is. Jesus is still seeking to save that which was lost. Jesus is still loving people who don't deserve it. People like me. People who have no hope apart from God's grace. And if we're going to follow Jesus, we need to know that he hasn't changed. And Jesus is still calling his people, saying, if anyone would follow me, he must take up his cross. If you want to be my disciple, you've got to take up your cross and follow me. If they persecuted me, Jesus says, they're going to persecute you. And he says, don't be led astray by various kinds of strange teachings, For it is good for the heart to be established by grace and not by food regulations, since those who observe them have not benefited. They are of no benefit, would be another translation. They are of no benefit to those who observe them. Well, is this saying you can eat Twinkies and ding-dongs and cut protein out of your diet and no vegetables because I just really prefer sugar? That was not even in sight here. This is not talking about a weight management program. This is talking about people who said certain foods are acceptable. Certain foods are not acceptable. That was the case in the Old Covenant. Jewish people were not allowed to eat shellfish, couldn't have a good lobster dinner. But in the New Covenant, Jesus declared that was to serve a purpose with the Jewish people. It is not part of the New Covenant. Well, now I thought we said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is, and therefore don't try and institute dietary rules as a way of making yourself closer to God. If you are focused on externals, you need to remember that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So don't be focused on the wrong thing. Focused on Jesus, who is unchanging, and realize that no amount of human regulation or any effort to go back and follow Old Testament regulations is going to get you closer to God. It is of no use in that regard. So, don't be led astray by strange teachings, because it is good to be for the heart to be established by grace. You know what I'm counting on? Not my performance. I'm counting on God's grace. That's where my heart is established. We have an altar from which those who worship at the tabernacle do not have the right to eat. If you're tempted, these Hebrews were being tempted, to go back to the old covenant system, to get back into the rituals and ceremonies and all that, if that is tempting you, you need to understand what we have in the new covenant is something that the old covenant folks didn't get to experience. They didn't. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the most holy place by the high priest as a sin offering, the bodies of those animals are burned outside the camp. There were sacrifices that were offered in the Old Covenant where the blood was offered up, the fat was offered up, but the meat the people got to eat. But the blood of the animals whose blood was taken in to the holiest of holies, those animals, that was not to be consumed, even by the priests. It says that those animals whose blood is brought into the most holy place by the high priest as a sin offering are burned outside the camp. The body was destroyed outside the camp. Jesus was the one who fulfilled that perfectly when he was crucified outside the city gate. And so what are we to do with that? Therefore, let us go to him. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing his disgrace. For we do not have an enduring city here. Instead, we seek the one to come. If your goal, if your aim, if your fond wish and dream is to find acceptance in the culture, it's to be popular with the crowd, you need to remember that Jesus said, and he doesn't change, the broad way leads to destruction, and that's where the heavy traffic is. Most people are going to destruction. We don't celebrate that fact, but folks, the only reason to be in that lane is trying to get people to turn around and go the other way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many travel thereon. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few people find it. Which road are you on today? Which road are you on? Those who follow Jesus bear his reproach. He suffered outside the gate so that he might sanctify the people by his own blood. The reason he went through what he did was for you and for me, so that we might be set apart, sanctified. People should be able to look at the way we live and say, they're not like everybody else. They're different. They're holy. They're set apart. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. Instead, be being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You should stand out, not in a way that calls attention and says, hey, look at me. I'm special. But in a way that says, hey, look at him. He came to save. Point others to him. He died so that we could be sanctified. Therefore, we need to go to him outside the camp, bearing his disgrace. For we do not have an enduring city here. This world is not our home. Please get that. This world is not our home. Instead, we're seeking the one to come. Therefore, through him, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Don't neglect to do what is good and to share, for God is pleased with such sacrifices. Are you continually offering up to God a sacrifice of praise? Do you rejoice in the Lord always? I'll say it again, rejoice. That's what Paul told the Philippians. We should be continually offering up to him the sacrifice of praise. All the time. Do you thank him for your food? Do you thank him for your job? Do you thank him for the fact that you're able to get up and walk across the room? My first child can't do that. Thank him. Praise him. All the time. We have every reason to rejoice. And I didn't say they should be rejoicing. I said we should be rejoicing. We should be rejoicing. That doesn't mean we don't grieve when things are wrong, but we don't grieve as those who have no hope. We have hope because we know that this world is not our home. There is a city to come. God is preparing a place for us. So give him a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name, and don't neglect to do what is good and to share. And to share. I've been to some very impoverished places in the world and met some of the most generous people on the planet. People who had so little, but whatever they had, they were eager to share it. They wanted to give. Folks, you may not have much, but you need to be willing to share what you've got. God is pleased with such sacrifices. Verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, since they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Is this talking about the government? No, because the government isn't keeping watch over our souls. This is saying that in the church, the biblical norm is that there are people who are, let's see, what would be another word for shepherd? Oh, it's the word pastor. It means somebody who actually cares about how you're doing and encourages you to follow Jesus. And those folks, it says, are to be obeyed. Now, speaking as a pastor, it's a little awkward for me to say, those under my watch care should be obedient to me. Because I don't like telling people what to do. Some of you might think that's ridiculous. You've written a student handbook. Of course you like to tell people what to do. No. Read the student handbook again and see what I said about rules. They're a necessity sometimes. But the goal is to try and equip you to follow him. That's the goal. If rules are imposed in order to make you dependent on the ruler, that's a bad ruler. But if rules are designed to help you excel so that you are increasingly independent of human authority and increasingly dependent, aware of your dependence on God's authority, then that's a good thing. Pastoral leadership should be equipping God's people so that they need the pastor less and less and less. But if you want to get there, obey your leaders and submit to them, since they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so that they can do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And pray for us, for we are convinced that we have a clear conscience, wanting to conduct ourselves honorably in everything. The author of this letter says, pray for us, because we believe we're doing what God would have us to do. And I urge you all the more to pray that I may be restored to you very soon. He's wanting to get out of the situation that he's in and get to where these folks are because he cares about these people. And so he says, please pray that I may be restored to you soon. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, he's the ultimate pastor. He is the one keeping watch over our souls. He is the one who is equipping us. May the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Did you hear that? It's an everlasting covenant. The old covenant specifically said that it was going to be replaced by the new covenant. The new covenant will never be replaced. It is eternal. It is eternal. We're going to be with him forever through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Equip you with everything good to do his will. God will equip you with everything good to do his will. I don't always have what I want, but I know that God has promised to provide everything I need in order for me to do his will. He didn't promise to give me everything I need in order to do my will, in order to do what I want. But he has promised, and he keeps his promises, that everything I need in order to do his will is provided. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. And he is working in us what is pleasing in his sight. God knows what he's up to. And he's at work right now, working in us to accomplish what is pleasing to him. That's what matters. I urge you to receive this message of exhortation. Be aware that our brother Timothy has been released. That means from prison. Understand that suffering for the gospel is the norm. It's not that it's right for evil rulers to persecute believers. It's that until Jesus comes again, that's the norm. And if your idea of Christianity is doing whatever you have to be popular in the culture and popular with the power structure, then you have totally misunderstood what the Bible calls Christian. I want to ask you a question once again. What road are you on? Are you following Jesus? Are you submitted to biblical authority? Biblical authority is the basis for pastoral authority. And I implore you, look to the Lord and his word, and submit to those who are encouraging you to do what God says.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.